Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this solo episode. I want to focus on and dig deep into a highly effective marketing strategy that I use for my own business. So today I will just be talking. It'll just be you and me. And specifically, I want to talk about the strategy behind throwing a strategic portrait party for your business. Now, first things first, you may be wondering, why a portrait party? Well, I firmly believe that when done strategically, a portrait party can be, I almost want to say, the single most powerful event. That sounds a little dramatic. So it can be a single powerful event that can transform your photography business and also the way that the community looks at you. So along with clients and credibility, it can also bring you respect within your community. You can potentially become known as that innovative go-to photographer who is shaking and moving things. So that's what I'll be focusing on today, is the strategy behind throwing a cool, effective portrait party. But let's just make sure that we're on the same page here. I'm not talking about any old portrait party, because an ill-planned, a portrait party that you have not planned very well, it can turn you into a commodity. Now think about how many Tupperware, makeup, and cooking home parties are out there, for example. And no offense, I love those, but just take a moment and analyze the feeling you get when someone invites you to one of those types of parties. Maybe you look forward to it, and you have a generally warm, fuzzy feeling in your belly because you know it'll be a fun experience with friends. But rarely is it the type of event that makes you think that the person who's throwing it is going to do something new or exciting or innovative. So it's a pretty well-known fact that, at least in my opinion, it seems like every other person on the planet, or at least in the United States, seems to be throwing some type of party to sell some type of product, and many of them are doing it in the same way. So you want your own party, your own portrait party, to stick out. You don't want it to stick to the status quo and have it fall in line with a zillion other portrait parties already out there. Because if you do that, you automatically categorize your service as a commodity, which is like the kiss of death. Because when you become a commodity in people's minds, they don't want to pay you what you're worth. Usually they want to lowball you and pay you cheap. And they don't see how you are different from other photographers. So you definitely want to be different. And that's what I did. I sought to make my very first portrait party different. So before I go into the strategy, I do want to share what it did for my business. So I've mentioned in past episodes that I am currently living in Port Huron, and that I previously made a recent move. As of this recording, which right now it is March 2017, I have been in Port Huron for about a year and 3 months. So when I made the move, so on top of moving to a new town, I decided that I wanted to make my life even more difficult by switching my photography business's focus from mainly family portraits over to corporate photography. So I moved to Port Huron and decided that I wanted to focus on business and corporate photography. Yeah, call me a glutton for punishment, I know. Now, never mind the fact that I hardly had any local contacts or even a portfolio of existing corporate work. I had a portfolio of plenty of family portraits, but it was not relevant to what I wanted to focus on. So in a nutshell, I had no clients, I had no income, that was painful, and I basically had a non-existent corporate portfolio. Now, it's a known fact that you get the type of work that you show. So I needed to fill my portfolio with relevant images quickly. After months of floundering around and attending a bunch of networking events, I realized that people were slowly getting to know me as yet another photographer handing out a business card. So they were getting to know me slowly and I was impatient and I wanted to move that process along quicker, but I also wanted them to see me as different. They weren't doing that yet. I was just another photographer saying, here, take my business card. Let's talk about a photo session for your business. So the jobs weren't coming in as quickly as I wanted them to. The process was slow. It was often awkward. It was sometimes painful. Networking events can be painful. They can be good. They do have their merit. Absolutely. But if you go in there and you're desperate, it's like people can smell that desperation on you. So I decided to bite the bullet and do something different. I think I was getting desperate at the time, really. I mean, goodness, the sleepless nights about how I would bring in income, it was hard. So I decided to put myself out there and throw a portrait party, kind of as my debut event into the city. But I didn't want it to be like every other portrait party. I really wanted to wow people, and I wanted this event to be seen as something exclusive and premium. I wanted there to be a buzz about it, both before and after the event happened. I wanted to become known as the photographer who was making a splash and putting her business out there. I also wanted my awesome photography work to circulate around the town in the form of portrait participants who had been truly impressed by the experience and they're sharing it with their friends. So, in short, I wanted to be extremely cool, extremely memorable, and yeah, so that was scientific, right? I was operating more out of a gut feeling, really, than anything else. But it really felt like the way to go. And I was wondering, what else did I have to lose at that point? So, I mean, would it put me outside of my comfort zone? Yes, without a doubt. The decision to throw a portrait party was a terrifying one, especially for an introvert like myself, seriously. But I felt I had no other choice, so I let that nebulous yet trusty feeling in my artistic gut drive me. I really believe you should listen to your gut, by the way. I didn't have a studio or a commercial space of my own. I primarily went to clients' locations for photo shoots. So for this portrait party, I had to find a location. So I arranged to have the party at a colorful, cool event space in downtown Port Huron. I figured the location alone would be enough to let people know that I take myself seriously and that therefore they should take my business seriously as well. I also had the event lightly catered, which was awesome. And the event space that I had it at had built-in sound system, and it was high quality. It was pretty awesome. So I had tasteful music playing that evening. I actually just put in a fun song playlist and it just played. I didn't have to worry about it. As the guests arrived for the party, so they were greeted by this cool, dynamic, colorful space. I mean, literally, the space is like red and orange, and it's just very artistic. So there's this creative setting. They're greeted by elegant food, light music, which helped to fill the awkward silences. And I had my lighting set up, so it was a bona fide photographer's studio that night, ready for headshots. On a couple of the large whiteboards that we have on the wall, I'd actually written down the schedule of headshots so that after circulating and chatting a bit, I could get started on the first one and people could see how many people were getting headshots. It was like 12 people that first one. So I filled the board with the 12 headshots and people would come in and go, oh, look how many you're doing. It was social proof on the board. So the evening flew by and while I was taking headshots, people chatted. They networked because I'm a business photographer, so I invited businesses. They ate and they got to watch me work. About half of the attendees at that party were getting headshots from me. Now the other half just showed up and they wanted to check things out and see how I operated, which was perfectly fine with me. People have to trust you before they hire you. And some people take longer with that process than others. So I was happy to have people there just relaxing and eating my food. Afterwards, I began circulating the photos of the event on social media. I even put together a cool, super quick video of the event. It's like 75, 76 seconds. It had music. I posted that on Facebook and also on my website. And people really responded to that video. Video is so powerful. Now, the wonderful thing about this video was that it continued marketing the coolness factor of the event even after the event was over. I have this video up on my own website today on the About page. Perception is so powerful. So it's important that potential clients perceive you as someone who is innovative and a mover and a shaker. So if you do want to see this video, I'll actually post it in the show notes for this podcast episode. I'll embed it in there. It's all of like 76 seconds, but you'll see, and it's simple and there's music, but it captures the feel of that event. So let's talk about how you can throw a strategic portrait party to kickstart your business. The first thing you should understand is that there are specific goals that you should have behind throwing your portrait party. Now, I'm pretty sure we can all agree that having the immediate income come in is a definite benefit for throwing a portrait event. Sure. I mean, that's all well and good, and it helps pay those immediate bills, which was extremely helpful for me. However, I would argue that your goals should be more extensive than that for your portrait party. So in short, it's more than just about the money. So what's it about? It's about building credibility. It's about getting noticed. It's about being seen as an influencer in your community. It's about showing that you downright care about your community. It's also about building a list of warm contacts for future business. A strategic, well-executed portrait party can bring you status in your community and establish you as a thought leader. You want to stand out head and shoulders above the other photographers in your area. So you want to keep those goals in mind. Now, I want to talk about the marketing piece of it. So spreading the word, engaging interest for your party, because that's a big part of it, right? And for me, I really had to work at it because I was so new to the area. So previous to my decision to throw my party, it really became apparent to me that many of the area's businesses needed headshots, but seemed to be putting it off. And they didn't seem eager to carve out time for an experience that was rarely considered thrilling. As far as getting business headshots, people tend to kind of drag their feet. They're not excited about it. They don't like being in the spotlight. So when I began spreading the word, I made sure to mention that my event would be fun, with food and light music, and that there would be networking, and that participants would get a polished, highly professional headshot at a super promotional price. Now, at this point, I'd been doing the business networking circuit via my local chamber of commerce. So if you have a chamber of commerce in your area, if you're in the United States, I'm certain that you do, that is one great way to market your party. I was also in Business Network International. I still am, BNI for short. And that's another networking organization that's awesome. So I began putting my feelers out there to see who was interested. I mean, at my Chamber of Commerce meetings, I literally brought flyers. And it actually, just to back up, before I started printing flyers, I started mentioning it by just word of mouth. So I'd show up to the meeting. We always have a time space for people to mention events. And I began to mention that I was considering throwing a portrait party. And I just kind of, you know, I mentioned the fun aspect, the food and the light music. And I wanted to see who would be interested. And that gave me an idea of if I could even fill my 12 time slots. I told people that slots would be limited, so let me know, and people began to verbally say that they were interested. I did mention the price that I was considering, and when people heard about the price, and again, how much fun it was going to be, and it was just, when they heard it, it was helpful. They started to get excited. I began to get verbal yeses. Same with my Business Networking International group. You can replicate this with any networking group where you're in contact with your target audience, or even just any networking group where the members are in contact with your target audience. So if you're a family portrait photographer, still mention it at your networking groups, because everybody has families and kids, right? So as you mention it verbally, see who's interested, take notes, write down names. Now, for me, after getting about 10 affirmations or 10 affirmatives, 10 people saying yes, I set a date and I created a cool 8.5 by 11 flyer, and I began to hand it out at my networking events. On the flyer, there were instructions on how to sign up. So the same people who said they were interested, They got flyers, even though I already had their name written down. I told them to spread the word. At my networking events, I handed out flyers, and or at my networking, the networking events, I handed out flyers. And so after making it known that while the event was open to the public, but that the slots for actual headshots were limited, it helped to, I began to get more positive confirmations, and it really sped things up. And I began to get payments from people beforehand who wanted to make sure and reserve their spot. I also spread the word on social media. I created a Facebook event, and as the spots filled up, I posted updates that let people know how excited I was and also that this portrait party was in demand and catching on. Once I had enough spots reserved, I told the additional people that wanted headshots that they could still come and check out the scene and that I would be more than happy to put them at the top of my list for any future portrait parties that I do. So it felt really good to be in demand all of a sudden. Now, just a tip, if you can, invite influencers to your party. One thing I learned is that having influencers come is very powerful. Having them attend as a bystander goes a long way. So even if they're not getting their portrait done, just having them physically there is really helpful. And if you're able to get them to sign up for a headshot, you get them in your portfolio, which means that you will have recognizable faces in your portfolio when you're showing your work off to people in the future. And that really goes a long way towards convincing future clients of your credibility. So for my party, for example, I heard that the mayor was coming, and that was because I was promoting through the chamber. And so in our local community, the mayor likes to really be involved. So as soon as I heard that she was planning on coming, I totally posted on social media about how excited I was, because I genuinely was. And I got comments back from people like, oh, that's so cool. It helped raise the general level of excitement. Now, while the mayor didn't get a headshot, she was still there physically, so she's totally in the general footage that I had my assistant take for that evening. And we also had other people from the community come that were considered influencers. Because Port Huron is so small, then it's easy to recognize people. So to this day, when a potential client from the area asks to see my portfolio, they almost inevitably recognize a general acquaintance, a colleague, someone they know of, or a friend. This instantly increases trust, and again, it continues to build your credibility. So for the next tip, I want to bring up how incorporating a fundraising aspect into your party can really help take it to the next level. Now, full disclosure, I didn't do this for that very first party. This tip didn't even dawn on me until nearly a year after that first party. I eventually realized that a portrait party can be a great way to give back and raise money for charity. Now, in addition, it gives you a marketing boost because the organization / charity / cause that you're partnering with now has an incentive to spread the word for you. That is so powerful. The more people that attend your party, the more that organization benefits. So how do you do this? Well, first of all, you want to reach out to an organization that matters to you. Send them an email, give them a phone call, go in person. Offer to give back a certain percentage of each portrait session fee to them. So make it clear that they will benefit from your event. That initial contact has to happen. And maybe you already have a relationship with an organization or a charity that you care about, then that's great. In my case, I had an organization approach me with the idea of doing a headshot party for their women. And now these women, they were all professional and they're all involved in the community. I had known of this organization, and I had known the organization for a while, actually, because I'd sat down and had coffee with them. So they already knew of me, and they had seen the past portrait parties that I had thrown, and they wanted to essentially get in on the action, which is awesome. So they approached me, and this was actually for, it's called the Women's Life Organization. Awesome, amazing women involved in the community. They offered to recruit the women for me and to supply the food, which for this one, there was sushi, there was wine, there was shrimp, there was cake. Oh, it was awesome. I offered to supply the location and, of course, the professional photography. I even offered to design a sleek flyer for them, which I co-branded with their logo and my own. Now, I hate to sound lazy, but for this particular party, I didn't have to do any marketing at all because Women's Live handled it. I didn't have to do any. A week or two before the party, I asked for the names and the emails of the women who had signed up. And I did send them a few prep emails to really build excitement and ease any nervousness that they may have had. So I guess that's a little bit of marketing, but really arranging the women, arranging the time slots and getting people interested and signed up, even collecting the money. This particular branch of the organization or chapter, they handled that for me. Now, I'm not promising that all organizations will do this for you, but this was the case for me because they were so excited to do it. So the night of the party arrived, and we had over a dozen giddy women arrive. We had an absolute blast. I think we shot 15 women. So there were portraits, there was sushi, there was wine. At the end of the evening, I happily wrote a check back to the organization. So let's face it, people are more apt to buy from businesses that show they care about the community. Plus, it's just a darn good thing to care about your local community. So the next tip, I just want to harp on not turning yourself into a commodity. Really, this tip will focus on standing out. Earlier, I talked about how you don't want to be categorized as just another commodity or service. You don't want your portrait party to be seen as like a Tupperware party. The last thing that you want is for your party to be grouped in with other types of portrait or other party products. And again, that's my opinion, but I do feel strongly about this. No offense to Tupperware products or anything else, because those parties are cool. I'm just saying. So I want to give some tips on how you can help yourself stand out. One way to make yourself stand out is to hold the party at a location other than your house. You might ask, well, where else would I hold it? You have options. There are various options. Where there's a will, there's a way. I do want to give some suggestions. You could hold your party at an event space or at a hall. In my case, I used a vibrant event space in my city of Port Huron. Another suggestion, you could rent a conference room at a hotel. If you have a commercial space, such as a studio, of course you can hold it there. So the key is that you want to make your party classy and that you want to make your party fun. So if you can find another location other than your home, I say do it not at your house. Of course, if you do it at your house, then that's better than no portrait party at all. So if you have to, then that's fine. Do what you got to do. There are additional ways to make your party classy and kind of stand out. Number one, I recommend that you have it lightly catered. Don't go crazy on the food. My first portrait party, I had way too much food, which probably happens with most events. But I mean, I had coffee, pop, water, donuts. I had fresh fruit with dip. And I probably spent, I want to say a little more than $50. So I thought I was keeping it to a tight budget. By the end of the night, though, I had like a dozen donuts left over. I had too many donuts. So having food there is good. Try not to go overboard. But yeah, just have it lightly catered. I noticed that people don't tend to eat a whole lot if they know that their photo is going to be taken because they don't want food in their teeth. So there's that. Also have light music playing in the background. Have it low so people can still talk amongst each other. But it sets the tone and it makes it festive and classy. So the next tip I want to talk about is about keeping your party at the right size. While you may think that the goal is to have as many people possible show up to your event and crammed into your event space, I would argue that that's not the main objective. If it's too crowded, people may get uncomfortable and cranky, they may get hot. Rather, you want the right amount of guests for your chosen event space, and you want to make sure everyone is having a good time. Not only do you want to be able to personally interact with your guests, but you want them to comfortably interact with each other. So your portrait party doesn't have to be huge. For my first party, I had about a couple dozen total. And for the ones after that, it's been about that much, actually. So it's not like I'm trying to get 50 or 100 people there, especially because you're spending time with a large number of them taking their headshots, or taking their portraits. So it's how many portraits can you fit into the night while still having time to talk to people And again, you want to make sure people have enough space to move around. And if you only have one restroom, then there's that to consider as well. So yes. Now for my next tip, it's about as people sign up, get them motivated and excited via email. So this goes back to the marketing piece. Getting folks signed up for your party is only half the battle. Keep in mind that although they willingly raise their hands to attend your function, they will almost always have feelings of uncertainty and anxiety mixed in with their excitement. That's why it's your job to motivate them through several well-timed, well-written emails. I recommend sending them at least 3 before the event. That's what I did. So I recommend you send your first what to expect email maybe a couple weeks before your party. This email can include information such as a schedule of the evening's events, so like an itinerary. You can tell them where to park, tell them what to wear. Please tell them what they should wear. That's like the number one question I get from people who are going to get their portraits done. What should I wear? And if you can, even include a quick photo of your event space. If they've never been there before, then having that photo, it just helps to ease the anxiety of the unknown for them. And that's totally what I did for mine. Now, in the next email, mention how excited you are. And also mention that there's general buzz about the event. This builds up anticipation. Also, offer to answer any questions that they may have. And then send your final email. I recommend close to the event. I sent mine the day before the event, reminding them and again mentioning how excited I was. For this email, it was the shortest, but you just want to touch base with people. So looking at my next tip here, make sure you pay attention to your portrait participants and general guests during the party. I kind of touched on that. At your party, you'll most likely have 2 types of guests. Those that are getting their portraits done and those that just kind of showed up to check things out and eat the free food. So you want to treat both of these types of people like rock stars. Whether someone is there to have you do their portrait or not, they will all be exposed to your charms firsthand. I can't stress the power of meeting people face to face. At my party, only about half of my guests were getting headshots from me. The other half showed up just to kind of check things out, check out the scene. And interesting is that about a quarter of those people contacted me in the following weeks after the party's schedule. Full price sessions. They were already familiar with my work and they liked me. So when the need arose for portrait services, they thought of me first. They scheduled full price sessions. I did make it clear that the portrait party prices were just promotional prices. If you want a private session, you do have to pay more. They were fine with that. So I just want to reiterate that it's perfectly fine to have people attend your party who are not getting a portrait. Sometimes they just need to check you out. Now, a very, very important component of my party, a strategy really, was that I documented the heck out of my party while it happened. So if you're going to go through the trouble of throwing a portrait party and putting yourself through that work and anxiety and excitement, then I believe it's imperative that you document. You want to document that it happened in the first place. Don't ever let anything go to waste. For my party, because I was busy taking headshots, I actually had my assistant circulating and taking photos and video footage of the guests. Prior to the event, I explained to my assistant what type of footage I wanted, and I also requested that she take video footage of me interacting with the clients as well and taking headshots. It worked out perfectly. After the event, I retrieved the footage from her, and I have priceless material to use for a future promo video, which will work for you indefinitely in the future. It'll work for you again and again. And as I mentioned, I do have that video embedded in the show notes page for this episode. Make sure you check it out. Now, after your party, you do want to measure your success. So I want to talk about a handful of metrics that you should be watching. So how do you know when you've achieved success? Let me tell you, it's got to be more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling in your belly. It also has to be more than simply taking awesome portraits. To know that your party was a success, I consider the following metrics to be important. So number one, Was your evening properly documented with photo and video footage? Again, that is so important. Number two, did you get a chance to chat with everybody? Number three, how much was your profit after your expenses? This will help you know if you need to charge more for your portrait sessions next time, and also if you need to spend less on, say, food, for example. So you do need to be tracking your numbers very carefully. And then the next metric that you should absolutely be tracking, how many contacts, as in names plus email addresses at minimum, did you collect as a result of the event? These are the people that you will be putting into your newsletter long term, or into your email database or your contact database, because you should absolutely have a database. For my party, of course, I had the information of the people who had signed up to have their portraits taken, but I also had everyone else who just came to attend and check things out. I had them sign in. And on my sign-in form, they had their name, their email address, and their phone number. And they ended up going into my newsletter. And those are future contacts. So before the party, I virtually had no contacts. After the party, I had a couple dozen contacts in my system. How powerful is that? Now, I do want to mention a quick word of caution. Don't throw a portrait party too often, or else people will learn to wait for your portrait party prices, where they can get a discounted rate. Instead, you want people to get familiar with you enough to order your full sessions. Now, as far as the frequency of your parties, that's up to you. I generally recommend no more than once a quarter. And I actually spread mine out a little bit more. But if you do it too often, people will learn to wait for that price. After my party, I had people asking when I would throw the next one. And, you know, I told them I wasn't sure and that it would be a ways down the road, and that if they want to schedule a session, then they should schedule a private session. And then I told them about the benefits of scheduling a private session with me, the one-on-one time, they get a longer session length. And it's just, yeah, you don't want to be known as the portrait party photographer all the time. So I want to get into some technical stuff, such as the gear that I used, the session length that I did for each person at the party, and even how much I charged at my first party. These are some of the most common questions that I've been getting from other photographers that I've talked to about the portrait party strategy. So let's do it. So I'm going to get into the juicy stuff first. I'm going to talk about my promo headshot party fee, what I charged people at my first party who wanted a headshot. Now, because I was new to the area and I had very little as far as a relevant portfolio to speak of, and I had a little social proof to speak of, I charged $50 a person, which is quite a discount from my normal headshot pricing when you order a private session with me. So I made this clear over and over again that they were getting a special promo price from me. I did not want them to expect the session fee to be $50 on a typical day. The last thing I want to be known as is the $50 headshot portrait photographer. So that's what I charged. It was comfortable enough so that people really didn't flinch. They just went for it. But again, I made that clear in person verbally, even on the flyer that I sent out, that was a super special promo price. Now, as far as what you decide to charge, it's up to you. I know for me, for what I charged, that was pretty low. And I've actually had one past client from that party later come back to me and tell me that I should have charged more. So for you, think about what would be a good price point for you. Take certain things into consideration, such as your location. So what state you live in, but even where you decide to throw your party and what that will cost. So for example, if you throw it at a conference center in a hotel, or if you rent a room at a hotel, you'll have to take into account how much they will charge you. Consider your other expenses, such as food, for example, or, you know, like cups, paper plates. Even consider how long you make the session slots available for each person. So consider how much time you're spending with each person who's getting a portrait from you. Now, this brings me to my next point, my time slots. My time slots were 10 to 15 minutes for each person, although I did leave a 20-minute slot in the middle of the party so that I could have time to have some snacks, take a potty break. You have to give yourself a break. So at that first party, like I said, I shot about 12 people at that party. I think I averaged less than 15 minutes per person though. Probably like 9 minutes a person. So, I mean, it was pretty quick. As far as setting up the shots, so some of the technical equipment that I used a portable 5x7 backdrop. I will link to the backdrop that I used in the show notes. It's not going to be an affiliate link, so don't worry about that, but it will take you straight to Amazon so you can check it out. And it was perfect, super quick setup, breaking it down. I mean, it folded, so it was quick. You've got to practice. Make sure you know how to open and close your backdrop if it's portable beforehand, by the way. Like, practice with it. You don't want people to see you struggling with that thing. So, yeah, I used a 5x7 backdrop. Now, as far as the lighting, I mainly used one light. And the key was I used a big soft box. So I used the 50-inch Mega Apollo. It created a wonderful arch soft light. It may have been overkill just for the headshots, but it was great. It was the only light I had to use, and it totally impressed my guests when they walk in and they see this huge light, and they're like, oh, she's so professional, right? So it worked for me. Again, I will link to that in the show notes. So the backdrop and the softbox will both be in the show notes. Those are not affiliate links. So concluding thoughts. Without a doubt, throwing a strategic, well-planned party can really kickstart a newer photography business, and it can breathe life into a photography business that is struggling. As I mentioned, it can also fill your portfolio with great images. It can bring you immediate income. It can bring you future income, and it can build buzz around your local community about how awesome you are. So I do urge you to consider throwing even just one portrait party and see what happens. If you have any questions, just post them in the comments on the show notes page or email me at info@prophotographerjourney.com. By the way, if you'd like to learn more about how to throw a strategic portrait party to help grow your business, I'll post a link to a free video training in the show notes. So if you want to check that out, it's totally free. It's about an hour long. So yeah, that brings us to the end of this episode. I know I gave a lot of information, and as I was kind of looking through my notes as I was talking, I'm really hoping that I covered everything. I know it's quite a bit, but it can really change your business. So I hope that you got something that was helpful for your business from this episode. Let's go out and build the photography businesses of our dreams. If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.